Well, good morning, everybody. Family Business Leadership Partners, welcome. We appreciate your joining us today for another edition of Behind the Numbers. And today, we have a treat for you. As far as I'm concerned, we have the president of the Star Group, our insurance agent, and hopefully soon to be yours, if you haven't already booked an appointment with Nick Starr. We're joined by President Nick Starr. How are you, Nick?
I'm excellent. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you, Nick. Lots of transitions going on at the Star Group, and we'll get to that here momentarily. Lots of transitions for you personally. Recently married.
Yeah.
And recently named president of the Star Group. Tell us which one's more challenging.
Would you? Wow. Well, this year I'm going to say the agency, but moving forward, who knows? Who knows? That could transition, right?
Very good. Well, that's the good political way of going about yes. saying that, right?
Right.
But Nick, let's talk about the presidency a little bit for some of our family members who have been with us for some time. They remember Paul Neuberger, who was the president of the agency for some time. And so things have definitely transitioned in the short term. And by the way, I should also mention that the Star Group has joined us again for 2022 as a partner. And we thank you for that continued commitment to family business leadership. But yeah. I wanted to talk to you about that transition and ultimately how you felt having someone who doesn't have the Star name as the president of the organization for a period of time. How did that work and how did that play out, Nick? Can you share with us?
Absolutely. So there was a lot of pre-discussion, as you can imagine. And, you know, I've been involved with this organization my entire life. You know, I was one of those weird folks who knew that he wanted to get into the insurance industry because I had been very close with my parents and got to observe and watch the agency grow and develop. So when I got involved, it wasn't something that I was. I deserve to be here through my sales ability, through eventually what turned out to be my leadership. When it came to bringing a president in, it was something that what is the management team? There's four of us really sat down and discussed and came to the conclusion that it was a wise idea because it was a position that we really never had. You know, Tim Starr was CEO and president, more on the CEO side. So to have someone come in and take the reins of some of the things that we wanted to do, but never really had the bandwidth to do, was something we all agreed would be wise, would be smart and move the agency in the direction that we wanted it to move. So of course, it was a well thought out decision. We had been working with Paul prior to him joining the agency. So it wasn't, you know, hey, who's this guy? He'd been doing some sales trainings, et cetera, with us. And you know, an extremely well-connected individual. And in our industry, it's all about who you know, right? So in addition to taking on some of those responsibilities within the agency, managing the sales team, we looked at this as an opportunity to expand our network as well with some of the individuals that he knew. So well thought out decision. Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of like Oprah. I don't get paid as much as she does, but I get to ask the probing questions.
Yes.
It's just you and me.
Okay.
Was it hard on the ego being the next generation son to have someone without the Star name in that role? And I'm not speaking specifically of Paul. Was it hard to have anyone in that role?
You know, you think it would be. And I truly didn't feel that way. And again, like I mentioned earlier, I came into this, I wanted nothing to do with nepotism. I started in personal lines and then I moved to commercial lines. And again, my success was really tied to my ability to sell. That's the measure of success in our industry. And that's what I wanted to continue to do. I wasn't ready to move into a leadership role, but my parents, Tim and Mary, and then our VP of ops, Maureen, sat down and said, are you okay with this? You know, how do you feel about this? We really do value your decision because your role is to, you know, if you'll have us and vice versa, move into the CEO role. So it really wasn't a position that at the time I was considering. again, my passion is sales. I love working with clients. So it really was natural. Even when he came in, you know, he and I worked very closely together as well, because I was still on the management team. So he and I shared a wall, and we bounced a lot of things off of each other. There's a lot of things that he didn't know about the agency and a lot of things that I didn't know about what he did. And we kind of worked in unison in that regard. So the transition to president when he exited was quite smooth. But no, to answer your question, no ego hurt. It was a well thought out decision that I was a very big part of. And he provided a lot of value for the agency.
Perhaps you can tell our listeners, how many Star family members are there?
Yeah, so to date, there are technically five of us. So mother and father, Tim and Mary Star, are still involved. CEO, mother is CFO, HR, wellness queen, all these different things. My uncle, so my mother's brother, has actually been with the organization. He's going to kill me if I get this wrong, but I think almost 30 years. So he was one of our first producers and still holds the largest commercial lines book in Star Group today. So he's still kicking. And then this year we had the pleasure of bringing on my older brother, Ben. We were in the position of needing an account manager. He actually had been living in Illinois, got fed up with the pandemic, moved back to Wisconsin, talked to him a little bit, had always been in customer service.
You're locked. There you go.
What's that?
You locked up a little bit there. So.
Oh, okay. Did you hear everything, or do I need to?
I didn't, but perhaps our okay. Listeners did. It just depends. So,
well, five of them total.
Yeah, let me follow up with that, Nick, if I can. Older brother joining the firm. Mm-hmm. You looking over your shoulder?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Confident. You know, all these families, everybody's getting along. You know, There's no need for FBLP anymore because everybody's kumbaya.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to throw the red flag and call foul on this.
Tell you what, though, if we had similar personalities, then it would be a potential issue. But we don't. He and I have always balanced each other out really, really well. In the sense that he's definitely more of an introvert, deep thinker, and I'm, you know, the loud, get in front of the clients type individual. So we complement each other really well. And I was really excited to, bring him in. So
are there any other Star siblings that we should know of that we got to be looking out for?
Younger sister, but she's a nurse. So no, she's not interested.
At the moment.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You never know.
At the moment.
You never know.
Nick, personal question along that line. Is she a shareholder?
Is my sister a shareholder? No. Just, okay. Yep. There's only a handful of us that are. And even my brother is not.
Because as we see in so many businesses, when you start getting into the shareholder, the silent partner, looking for the dividend check, that's when things can get very, very messy and complicated. So it sounds like the Star family has had this discussion before.
Yeah, it's well established. It's well established, and transparency has always been a very significant piece of who we are, and one of the reasons we continue to be a top performer in best places to work is because we share our financials, we share our profit, our expenses, what it means to be a shareholder, what the capacity is to potentially make other people within the organization a shareholder. So it's been well established up front so that there's not any of that angst moving forward.
Well, now let's get to the big issue, which is really the reason we have you on the show today. And I really do thank you for your willingness to discuss this with us. Last year at this time, you called me up and you said, David, I just want you to know something's coming down the pike. You should be aware of it. And it was at that time, if I understand everything correctly, that you folks made the decision to sell the agency. and to transition the agency, but yet the purchaser of the agency wanted it to remain as the Star Group, wanted the Star family to remain, want you to continue to operate it as if it's an independent agency, but yet you're under an even bigger Milky Way umbrella. If you're a Star, they're the Milky Way, and you're in that you're in that morass.
Yeah.
Did I capture it adequately?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I can elaborate a little bit further.
Yeah. How'd you make that decision? What went into the decision to sell and yet hold on to the apron?
Sure. Well, so as you can imagine, it wasn't an easy decision and it wasn't a quick decision. Investments, insurance was a very attractive market for a lot of these organizations like Acrisure. So as far as the return, it was one of the best opportunities that appeared or reared its head in the history of our industry. So it made a lot of sense on a number of levels, that being one of them. The second is, I hate the word sell. And I you know, talked to you a little bit about this earlier. I hate the word sell because sell to me means the owners of the agency take the money, they hand over the deed to the agency, and then they sail off into the sunset. And it couldn't be more opposite of that. One of the reasons we did this was because Acrisure is an organization that is attracted only to agencies that have multi-gen and have that long tenured feel and success and experience. They're very choosy. And then it's also agency owned. Acrisure is owned 93% by the agency. So although they bought into us, we in some way bought into them as well. So it was not as difficult of a decision once we really kind of got everything, all the pieces together. And we talked through this in and out. You know, obviously the four or five of us at the time went through this with a fine tooth comb. And they weren't the only ones. But what was really important to us and why they were the best choice for us is they allowed us to keep our full autonomy. And I mean our full autonomy. It's almost sometimes troubling that we don't hear from them. You know, they have us submit financials from time to time to ensure that we're remaining profitable. But sure. Other than that, they're just meant to be a resource to us. So you might ask, why would we do that? Right? Why would we go that route if nothing really changed? Am I beating you to the question or?
No, go ahead. You can continue with that. I would answer, why wouldn't you? If you can have your cake and eat it too, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important to note that it did secure a legacy here as well. You know, I'm very interested in continuing to move the needle of Star Group. I've never been more excited about anything in my life at this point in time in terms of where we're at. We just hired six new individuals. But the legacy lives on where otherwise I would have been in a position to buy this. And I never wanted to put my parents in a position where they felt like they owed it. You know, they worked their butts off getting it to the point of where it is today. So it was between, you know, basically the VP of Ops, Maureen, and I, to figure out how to do that. And based on what was being offered to organizations in this industry, it just wasn't feasible. But at the same time, this offered an opportunity to still maintain ownership, autonomy, you know, hiring, our name doesn't change, all of it, but also to scale at a much faster pace. And that was the other reason that we made this decision, was because Acrisure is a technology company. So they are spending they're a $3 billion company. There's 600 agents. We're technically the third largest independent agency in the U.S. now. However, we maintain our boutique service feel. Mm-hmm. But the resources that they provide us are uncanny. We've created our own products, flood products, cyber products, builders risk products. So we're able to leverage the markets. And then the other piece is that we're able to collaborate with other Acrisure agencies. One of them is a very prominent agency here in Wisconsin who really helped hold our hand over that finish line. And that agency is H&I Risk Solutions. I think you've probably heard of them, familiar with them.
Yep.
They're one of the largest aquasure agencies. And we didn't know that they were an aquasure agency until we were going down this road. And we're like, oh my gosh, why would they ever do it? So it was really nice having a partner in that process. And since then, we have collaborated on such a level, H&I and Star Group, because we both are specialized in different areas, that it's really just become this beautiful harmony of specialists.
So everything's great over at the Star Group. Get along with your siblings. Yeah. They love you. You got money for nothing. And I got to ask you some tougher questions than that. And of course, I'm kidding. Every business does. But let's get to the issue of what was the vetting process like in terms of the sale?
Yeah. Wow. Well, so there are multiple organizations like Aquasure that were interested in the Star Group. So the question was, is this the direction that we want to go or not? And well, we should at least entertain it, right? So we had multiple sit downs, multiple meetings with, you know, that the higher ups of each of these organizations, and really just kind of continued to narrow it down, right? We'd have a meeting with, there's another one named Patriot, and we finished the meeting, and how did everyone feel about that? And it really was a weekly, a multi-weekly thing. We spent countless hours doing this to find the right fit, to say, yeah, if we go this route, there's no going back. So we need to make sure that it's in line with who we are as an agency, our philosophies, our beliefs, that our values don't change, that our processes don't change, that all we're getting in return is a partner that's going to help us grow and not get in the way. So I don't know how many industries have that. We're fortunate that we do have a partner like Aquasure. But nonetheless, you know, for any organization that's considering it, you know, there's options out there that allow you to still be you, to still maintain autonomy, but give you some resources in the process without necessarily having to sail away in the sun, unless that's something you're looking to do. And I'm sure there's some partners out there that probably are.
And as you were vetting, Nick, did you have some advisors that you folks counted on, either you did or family members did, or was this something that you kept in-house and within the family?
It was strictly in-house. It was, again, the five of us at the time. So it was Maureen, Paul, Mary, Tim, and I. Again, just a ton of conversations. And then H&I. Right. So we met with them and said, is this truly what they're saying it is? Is it truly this much autonomy? How is that possible? What's your experience been? They transitioned 2-3 years ago. So they were very helpful in that process. Because, you know, you listen to the specialists and the higher ups at Aquasure. And of course, many times they paint the beautiful picture that everything's going to be perfect. And then, you know, you sign on the dotted line and things change. And that's what we were most fearful of.
So, Nick, for your parents in particular, is this the cash out plan?
Yes and no. I think it gave them safety for sure for everything that they had built. And, you know, we had a hard time through the pandemic, just like everyone else. So the pandemic was not the reason that we did this, but it definitely highlighted this opportunity further. They love the business, you know, and I love the fact that they're still involved. You know, knowledge in this industry is something that you get over time. Sure, you can, you know, learn a lot along the way, but you know, my father's knowledge in this industry is extremely valuable. And you know, my mother, in my opinion, is the glue that holds this organization together. I mean, she's just this amazing presence. So they love it. I'm excited that they love it. So I can see them being around for a while yet, but probably move more into a consulting position as they're finishing up a cabin this year. And I feel like when that's finished, they're going to be spending a little bit more time outside of the agency, and every year it's going to turn into a little bit more and a little bit more.
Sure.
And that's okay. You know, they deserve it, but at the same time, they're still hungry. They're still passionate. They're still you know, ready to do this. So,
and as you look back, Nick, is there something different that you could pass along to our family members listening that you perhaps in hindsight would have wished you have done?
You know, the transition phase, you know, I don't know if there's any easy way to do that, but of course with the entire Star Group team. And, you know, when we initially did the transition, about 35, 40 employees, it's a lot, you know, and even though we understood it as the management team, doesn't necessarily mean that everyone within the organization would understand it when that transition's made.
Right.
So probably having a better communication plan or a better finger on the pulse of every little detail that's going to take place after the transition. And I feel like we did a pretty good job. I feel like we could have been better, but that's important, right? We felt the stability. Some of our employees, maybe not as much. And it can be scary, right? What's the future look like for me? Is probably what went through a lot of their heads. And we tried to be proactive in that sense. But, you know, transparency and clarity is so important for every organization, and making sure that you've got that well-defined before making any of those big decisions.
Well, and you've actually kind of waded into one of the final questions I wanted to talk to you about, which is, can you share with us any of the culture issues? If I can back up just a bit, one of the things that I know about the Star Group is that you are very much into giving back. Internally, your office dynamics are unique and interesting. There's a lot of, I'll use the word play, fun, which tries to maintain the joy of the job, et cetera. And it's not just about work, but you also can play together as well, which is part of your culture. But are there any cultural issues that you faced as you integrated in with the new firm?
You know, that's a tough question to answer because the cultural challenges that I feel like we're facing right now have more to do with the pandemic than the transition to AcroSure.
Okay.
You know, just not having everyone in the office, obviously the communication was a little bit more difficult when you're trying to adhere to people that are in the office and people that are out of the office. And of course, it's much easier when you can do things in person and they can see, you know, your facial response and all of those things. I think for some, there was some uncertainty. But I feel like we did everything that we possibly could have to communicate that this is a really good thing and nothing changes. You know, all we're doing is moving into a position to help us grow and scale at a much greater level. And I feel like now that people have come to understand what this is and how it works and nothing's really changed, I feel like things have gotten back to normal. But at first, sure, I'm sure people were a little bit worried and uncertain and, you know, communication, as proactive as you are, only goes so far until people really feel that new behavior, that new transition.
If I'm a business owner out there, what can I expect? Are companies going to be coming to me and asking if I'm willing to sell, or do I have to actively go out and pursue folks in the trade to perhaps make an offer?
I think it purely depends on the industry, right? You know, we were an industry that was very attractive to these large, you know, aggregators at the time. So depending on the industry, I think it can go both ways. I think, of course, if you're an attractive, profitable, long-term business, yeah, you're going to have suitors, right? Even if you're not, there are venture capitalist organizations out there that would, I'm sure, be interested in doing something like this. But yeah, I think every industry's got their own little groups.
Nick, my last question for you, then we're going to let you get back to what you do best. My last question for you is actually one of perhaps a description for the listeners as it pertains to what kinds of insurance is the Starr Group involved with? Mm-hmm. And most recently, have there been some new sorts of insurance that you're getting into, some new industries that you're putting your toe in the water of? I'm thinking cybersecurity and things like that, that perhaps you can tell our listening audience about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Starr Group is always focused on three pillars. That's personal lines, commercial lines, and commercial lines, by the way, and actually I should specify in each of these personal lines is your home, auto, umbrella package. Commercial lines is business insurance, workers' comp, and everything that you just mentioned, cyber, D&O, EPLI, all that good stuff. And then large group benefits. We've got some amazing solutions for that that we've collaborated with H&I and again, doing some amazing things there. Commercial lines. Yeah. Commercial lines is very focused on everything you've got going on. What's unique is we start workshopping with clients and having them help us identify where some of those hidden risks exist in their business. And from there, we can really put together an executable plan around that. So we don't come at anything and say, oh, you need cyber insurance or, oh, you need D&O insurance. You know, we really take a consultative approach where we sit down with the executive team and we say, okay, let's talk through. We're going to ask you some questions. And it's amazing actually how it works out. They end up giving us all of this information that most of the time they haven't even collaborated on before, that gives us an idea of where they need the most assistance. And then we can build a very full plan around that while also providing some really unique services outside of what people typically associate with insurance, DOT safety, safety culture specialist, employee law assistance. It's very full. We hate the term insurance. We want to be risk managers. We want to be consultants. We want to be a liaison to help your team really get the most out of your program and improve the overall value and profit margins of your organization. Believe it or not, you can actually do that through insurance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this, you know, as well as I do, that you work with one of several of our families that are in the FBLP. I know of one in particular that you've done an outstanding job with, both in lowering their costs, although you go on out very clearly and say, hey, we're not always the low-cost provider, but it's not always about low cost. It's about the quality of the product being offered and are the things that need to be covered truly covered. And you've done an outstanding job in providing the lower cost alternatives and even more coverage than was previously offered. So job well done as far as I'm concerned. FBLP uses you, as you know, as our insurance provider too for directors and officers and liability. And frankly, we can't be happier. So we thank you for that, Nick. We thank you for taking some time out here, for sharing a little bit of issues behind the scenes. And now you can go back and sing Kumbaya with the rest of the family because everything is great in the Starr Group.
Yeah, as we're getting out of the pandemic, absolutely. Absolutely. It wasn't without its challenges, but thank you. If anyone else has any other questions, I'm, of course, always available.
And where would they get in touch with you, Nick?
Everyone's got my information, isn't it, on FBLP? The Starr Group, or my email is nstarr@starrgroup.com. Two R's
and Starr. Very good. Yeah. So. Nick Starr, thank you so much for your time. FBLP, thank you. Next week, we have our big golf outing. We are full, so unfortunately, we can't take on any more. Nick, you're going down next Thursday. Just want you to know we're at Hidden Glen. You're going down. Just telling you right now. We've got a number of behind the numbers events that are in line. Our next group will be Von Breesen, who will be talking to us about a number of issues. And then we've got our very first live event coming up very soon. So look for those updates from me, as well as the newsletters that come out episodically, would you? Until then, take care, everybody. Bye now. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Dave.